Okay, so you're diving deep into civil rights law, and you think, hey, someone violated my constitutional rights. I'm going to sue under Section 1983.
Right. Sounds simple enough.
Yeah, but hold on. There's this sneaky little detail called a statute of limitations, and boy, can it trip you up.
It definitely can. Basically, it's a deadline.
You miss it. Case dismissed, no matter how strong your claim.
Right. And before the Supreme Court stepped in, figuring out the deadline for these 1983 cases, it was a real headache.
Total chaos. Imagine trying to pick the right size shoe from a pile of mismatched ones, blindfolded.
Yeah, great analogy, especially for our listeners who are just starting to grapple with these complex areas of law. That's why today we're tackling a case that brought some much-needed order to this mess. Wilson v. Garcia.
A landmark decision from 1985. It laid down a uniform rule for statutes of limitations in these crucial civil rights cases.
Essential knowledge for anyone even thinking about working in this field.
Absolutely. So in this deep dive, we're going to break down what Wilson v. Garcia actually means.
Okay, sounds good.
We'll look at the real-life situation that sparked it all,
Right.
the legal puzzle the Supreme Court had to solve, and of course, the reasoning behind their decision.
Okay.
And most importantly, why this case still matters so much for understanding civil rights litigation, even today, almost 40 years later.
Definitely a case with a lot of staying power.
So let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Let's rewind back to 1979, New Mexico.
Okay.
Enter Gary Garcia. He's got some very serious allegations against two New Mexico State police officers, Richard Wilson and the chief, Martin Vigil.
Right. Garcia claimed that Officer Wilson had unlawfully arrested him,
Okay.
subjected him to a pretty brutal beating,
Oh, wow.
and even used tear gas against him.
This is heavy stuff.
Yeah, very serious claims. Garcia also alleged that Chief Vigil knew about Wilson's history of violent conduct,
Okay.
but failed to take any action, you know, like reprimanding him,
Yeah.
providing better training or supervision.
Basically saying Vigil was turning a blind eye.
Exactly.
So Garcia's claiming some serious constitutional violations here.
Right.
But, and this is a big BET, he waits almost 3 years to file his lawsuit.
Yeah, this is where things get interesting. See, the alleged incident happened in April of 79, but Garcia didn't file his lawsuit in federal court until January of 82.
That's almost 2 years and 9 months later,
Right.
way past what the officers considered the deadline.
Oh, yeah. The minute Garcia filed, Wilson and Vigil were like, nope, too late. Your claim's time barred. They pointed to New Mexico's Tort Claims Act,
Okay.
which had a strict 2-year statute of limitations for these kinds of actions.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, their argument was, under state law, your time to sue ran out a while ago.
Makes sense.
Ugh.
Case closed, right?
Not so fast. The
Yep.
lower courts, they weren't quite convinced.
Oh.
The district court initially said, no, we're not using that 2-year limit from the Tort Claims Act. They went with New Mexico's 4-year catch-all statute of limitations instead.
More time for Garcia.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then the case gets appealed to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals.
Okay.
They also ditch the 2-year limit, but they go for a different time frame.
Okay.
New Mexico's 3-year statute of limitations, specifically for personal injury actions.
So now it's a 3-year deadline.
Yep. See the problem.
Even the lower courts can't agree on which state law to apply to this federal civil rights claim.
Total confusion, right?
This case is a roller coaster. Up to the 10th Circuit, down to the 2-year limit, back up to 4 years, then settling on 3. No wonder it landed in the Supreme Court's lap.
They have to step in and clear things up.
You okay? So here's the million-dollar question, or maybe the million-dollar headache for the Supreme Court.
Shoot.
When a federal civil rights lawsuit gets filed under Section 1983, should there be just one state statute of limitations that covers all claims, no matter what?
Okay, so a blanket rule.
Or should courts go case by case, trying to match the specifics of each 1983 claim, like an illegal arrest versus a free speech violation, to the most similar state law?
Right, so like find the state law cousin of the federal claim to figure out the deadline.
Exactly. And this whole dilemma stems from a very specific federal law, 42 U.S.C. Section 1988. It's the instruction manual for federal courts, when federal law is silent on a particular issue in civil rights cases.
Right. And guess what? There's no federal statute of limitations specifically for Section 1983 claims.
Gap in the system. So yeah. Section 1988 says, hey, federal courts, borrow the law of the state where you're sitting.
But make sure it plays nice with federal law.
No undermining the whole point of civil rights laws.
Yeah, that's a tricky part. How do you borrow state law in a way that's fair and consistent for all these different types of civil rights claims?
That's what the Supremes had to figure out. So suspense is building, the stage is set. What did the Supreme Court decide? Give us the verdict.
All right, drumroll, please. In a majority opinion penned by Justice Stevens, the court went for the simple solution, a uniform rule.
Okay.
They said all Section 1983 claims, no matter what they're about, should be treated as personal injury cases for the purpose of picking the right statute of limitations.
All under one umbrella.
Exactly. So let's say you're in Texas.
Okay.
You file a Section 1983 lawsuit.
Okay.
The federal court will look at Texas's statute of limitations for personal injury cases, and bam, that's your deadline.
Simple and straightforward.
Right.
But here's what throws me off. Why personal injury? Section 1983 covers a whole spectrum of rights violations, way beyond just physical harm.
That's a great question. And the court gave a few reasons for picking personal injury as the magic category.
Okay.
Number one, they really stressed the need for uniformity.
Having a clear rule.
Exactly. Imagine the chaos without it. You'd have plaintiffs shopping around for the most favorable deadline. Oh, this state gives me 5 years for this type of claim. I'll file there.
Forum shopping.
Bingo. A uniform rule eliminates that, makes it much easier for everyone involved to know the deadline from the get-go.
That's fair. Makes things predictable.
Absolutely.
So more clarity, less strategic maneuvering.
Precisely.
Okay, what's reason number two?
So for reason number two, the court dove into the history books, looking at the Civil Rights Act of 1871.
Where Section 1983 was born.
Exactly. They emphasized that this whole act was intended to create a legal remedy similar to what we see in tort law.
Holding someone accountable for causing harm.
Right. And to protect individuals from unconstitutional actions by state officials.
All right.
There's a really crucial quote from the opinion. It says, "The atrocities that concerned Congress in 1871 plainly sounded in tort."
Powerful words.
The court basically reasoned that violating someone's constitutional rights is essentially injuring their personal rights.
Okay.
So the statute of limitations for personal injury claims fits like a glove.
It's all about the harm done to the person, whether it's a physical injury or an infringement on their fundamental rights.
Exactly.
Okay, so uniformity, historical context. What's the third big reason?
All right, so the third key point was about balancing federal and state interests.
Okay, federalism in action.
Right. The court recognized that states have a big role in setting these time limits for lawsuits.
Makes sense.
It's about fairness in the legal process.
Okay.
And preventing claims that are so old the evidence might be gone or memories are fuzzy.
Steal claims.
Exactly. So by borrowing the state's personal injury statute of limitations, they're respecting the state's traditional role in this area.
Okay. So giving the state some control.
Right.
But at the same time, they're also making sure that these really important federal civil rights claims don't get unfairly cut short by some random super short deadline that might apply to totally different kinds of state claims.
Right. Imagine a state with a 1-year statute of limitations for, say, a breach of contract.
Okay.
You wouldn't want that to apply to a complex civil rights case about police brutality.
No.
It wouldn't be fair. So it's a balancing act.
Protecting federal rights while respecting the state's legal systems.
Exactly. And in Garcia's case, this all worked in his favor.
Oh.
New Mexico had a 3-year statute of limitations for personal injury.
Okay.
His lawsuit was filed just under that wire.
He made it.
Barely, but he did. So the Supreme Court ultimately affirmed the Tenth Circuit's decision, letting Garcia's case proceed.
Case not dismissed.
Nope.
But wait, there's always a but in law, right? There were dissenting opinions.
Oh, absolutely. Justice O'Connor, she wasn't buying this whole uniform rule thing.
Okay, tell me why.
Well, she and the other dissenting justices felt the majority's approach was way too simplistic, like trying to fit square pegs into round holes.
Okay.
Their main point. Section 1983 is massive.
Covers so much ground.
Exactly. It's not just physical injuries. You've got First Amendment free speech violations, Fourth Amendment illegal searches and seizures, due process issues.
So many different scenarios.
And lumping all these diverse claims under personal injury ignores those very real differences.
Okay, I see their point.
Like, a free speech claim has a completely different impact than, say, excessive force by a police officer.
Yeah, apples and oranges.
Right. So the dissent felt that maybe each type of Section 1983 claim should have a different statute of limitations, one that's more closely tailored to the specific right that was allegedly violated.
So instead of one big umbrella, a bunch of smaller, specific ones.
Exactly. They argued that this would be fairer, more nuanced.
So more work for the courts to figure out which umbrella applies, but potentially a more just outcome.
Exactly. That was their thinking. Plus, the dissent also really emphasized the importance of letting states have some flexibility in this area.
States' rights coming into play.
Right. They felt each state should be able to set different deadlines for different kinds of legal claims, you know, tailor it to their own legal landscape.
Okay, so more autonomy for the states.
Exactly. They worried that this one-size-fits-all federal rule was stepping on the states' toes a bit.
And maybe not serving the best interests of justice in every situation.
Right.
Did the dissenting justices think there might be any negative consequences from this uniform rule down the line?
They sure did. Justice O'Connor specifically warned that this seemingly simple solution might actually create more confusion and inconsistencies in the long run.
Oh, the irony.
Right. For example, you could have a situation where a federal civil rights claim gets a different deadline than a very similar state law claim based on the exact same incident.
Because one falls under the federal personal injury umbrella, and the other doesn't.
Precisely. That could create a whole lot of unfairness and legal head scratching.
So the dissent was essentially saying, hey, we get that you want a clear rule, but don't oversimplify things to the point where it becomes unjust.
That's a really good summary. They felt strongly that a more nuanced approach was needed, even if it meant more legal legwork.
Okay, so Wilson v. Garcia laid down this clear, uniform rule.
It did.
But almost 40 years later, why are we still talking about it?
Because it's had a huge impact on civil rights litigation.
Still relevant today.
Big time. Before Wilson, figuring out the statute of limitations for a Section 1983 claim was a total guessing game. Inconsistent rulings, tons of litigation just over deadlines, and a lot of uncertainty for everyone involved.
So Wilson brought some order to the court.
Exactly. Now, the general rule is, look to the state's personal injury statute of limitations, and you're good to go. Simple, predictable.
But you mentioned earlier that there were some trade-offs with this decision.
Oh, there definitely are.
What are some of the criticisms or concerns that have come up about this uniform approach?
Well, the biggest concern is fairness, especially in states with really short statutes of limitations for personal injury claims.
Like a one-year deadline.
Exactly. That might be enough time for a straightforward fender bender.
Okay.
But imagine applying that to a complex civil rights case, like police misconduct or a violation of someone's due process rights.
You'd barely have time to gather evidence and build a case.
Right. And that short deadline applies no matter how serious the violation.
Doesn't seem quite right.
Exactly. Critics argue that these short timeframes could shut out legitimate claims before people even have a chance to seek justice.
Denying them their day in court.
Precisely. And there have been some interesting developments in the case law since Wilson.
Oh.
For instance, there was a later case, Owens v. O'Cure.
Okay.
The Supreme Court actually doubled down on the Wilson approach.
Sticking to their guns?
They explicitly stated that even intentional torts, you know, actions that are deliberately harmful, should still fall under the personal injury umbrella for Section 1983 statute of limitations purposes.
So no special treatment for intentional harms.
Right.
Interesting. So Wilson is definitely still the guiding principle, but the debate about its fairness continues.
Definitely. It's an area of law that's still evolving.
Okay, so for all the aspiring lawyers out there who are trying to get a grip on civil rights litigation, what's the key takeaway from Wilson v. Garcia and all this talk about statutes of limitations?
The big takeaway, when you're figuring out the deadline for filing a Section 1983 lawsuit.
Okay.
Think personal injury in that specific state. That's your starting point.
Okay, so look up the state's statute of limitations for personal injury claims, and that's your clock.
Exactly. And remember, this is just the starting point.
Right. There are always exceptions and nuances in the law.
Always. Do your research. Consult with experienced attorneys.
Okay, so to sum it all up, Wilson v. Garcia went for a simple solution to a complex problem.
Mm-hmm.
They said, let's treat all Section 1983 claims as personal injury actions for statute of limitations purposes.
And boom, one uniform rule for the whole country.
Brought clarity, made things more predictable.
Definitely.
But it wasn't a unanimous decision.
Oh.
The dissent raised some valid concerns about fairness, especially for claims that don't neatly fit into the personal injury box.
And for cases in states with those super short deadlines.
Right. And even though Wilson still holds strong, it sparked ongoing debates about whether this one-size-fits-all approach truly serves justice in all cases.
It's a great example of how a seemingly simple legal rule can have really complex consequences.
So here's something for all of you future legal eagles to ponder. Wilson aimed for clarity and predictability. But does this blanket approach really work for all those diverse situations Section 1983 covers?
Great question.
Are there certain types of civil rights violations, maybe those with less obvious or more delayed harms, that might need a different way of looking at statutes of limitations?
Something to think about.
Right. And how do those varying state statutes of limitations affect people's access to justice? Especially when we're talking about something as fundamental as civil rights.
Really important questions.
So keep exploring the case law that followed Wilson. See how the courts have grappled with these issues.
And think critically about how these seemingly technical procedural rules, like statutes of limitations, can have a huge impact on people's ability to actually vindicate their rights.
Because ultimately, procedural rules are the nuts and bolts that hold our legal system together.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.